You are listening to Aftersight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Hello, and thank you for joining us for Catholic News. My name is Chris Mihalik. The source of our program is edwardcatholic.org. Whatever Your Will Is, How Cancer Brought Devin Hayes Back to Faith and Purpose by Marie San Jose. When Devin Hayes felt the first bump on his head, he was more concerned about finals than his health. I had gotten stripped twice that semester, which was really weird. But when this happened, I just thought I had a weird cold, he said. I was coughing, super tired, and I couldn't concentrate in class. Even after a big cup of coffee, I just figured I'd push through the week. But by that Friday, he had developed a third bump, and his cough had worsened. He made a plan to stop by the campus clinic that Monday morning. I thought, hopefully I can get some medication to get me through finals week, and then I'll worry about it when I get home, Hayes remembered thinking. What he didn't expect was to be told he needed to go to the hospital immediately. They couldn't see my heart on the x-ray, he said. There was something along my trachea and mediastinum. That's when I knew it was serious. Raised in a Catholic home in Erie, Hayes had drifted from his faith during middle and high school as his competitive hockey schedule pulled his family away from regular church life. But in the moment of medical uncertainty, something deeper stirred. For the first time in my life, I just gave it up to God. I said, whatever your will is, it's your will. Just help me get through the mental side of this. That was a moment of surrender, he recalled. Doctors initially believed Hayes had lymphoma, a curable cancer with a strong prognosis, but then came a crushing update. They told me it wasn't lymphoma, it was leukemia. Aggressive, not curable. 5-year survival rate was about 50%. After that, it drops. It felt like everything was slipping away. But then, unexpectedly, the biopsy results came back from a clinic in Iowa. They told me the cancer was lymphoma and was curable. The only two options were either a Mayo Clinic MD pathologist got it wrong or something changed. I choose to believe something changed, he shared. Treatment began quickly, and while the cancer responded well, chemotherapy was brutal. The chemo itself almost killed me several times, he said. I lost all my hair. My face was puffy. I looked very ill. It's during that time that the community around him stepped in, especially at his home parish, St. Scholastica in Erie. I became very close to Father Bob Guido, and he really helped me walk through it, Hayes recalled. The Knights of Columbus were also huge. Even when I looked sick, they treated me like everyone else. They gave me the same responsibilities as the other men, and at that time it meant the world to me. Despite undergoing intense treatment, Hayes refused to fall behind in school. I would take quizzes and exams while getting chemo, he said. Then I transferred into CU Boulder. By the grace of God, college is only going to take me 4 years with cancer and all. Now in remission, Hayes is pouring his energy into service and building something bigger than himself. He volunteers regularly with the CU Boulder campus ministry, helps with the youth group at St. Scholastica, and remains active with the Knights of Columbus. The hardest part of my cancer journey was seeing how it affected friends and family, specifically my mom, and also watching other kids go through it. I was under pediatrics through most of my treatment, and watching kids suffer is very difficult, he shared. That October, while I was in remission but still actively receiving treatment, we dressed up and handed out candy to all of the kids that were also in the hospital. This is where he founded his most ambitious effort, Hospital Homies, a nonprofit that ministers to both children and their families. I was blessed to meet Tim Tebow, who I think is a great Christian, and watching him love people really inspires me. The night before a fundraiser trip, the name Hospital Homies popped into my head, Hayes said, which is too good for me to come up with, especially with chemo brain. The nonprofit is now a registered 501c3, dedicated to visiting children in hospital and supporting their families. We don't hide that we're Christians and Catholics, Hayes said, but we also meet people where they're at. Visiting the sick is a corporal work of mercy, and sometimes those visits open the door for deeper conversations. I'm so excited to come back in 20 years as an alum and see what these students are doing, he said. Immediately after graduation this month, Devin's next venture is a startup business, a brick-and-mortar and online shop focused on collectibles, particularly precious metal coins. The idea is to create a stable income that can help fund Hospital Homies, he said. You need means to support your mission, so this is how I hope to fund my dream of service. Looking back, Devin sees a transformation in himself far deeper than the physical. Before getting my diagnosis, hockey was definitely my idol, he admitted. I'm extremely grateful to have gone through this because it changed my perspective on everything. It taught me about the immense hurt in the world, but it also taught me about the extreme grace that Christ brings about through that hurt. And it's that grace Devin hopes to share for the rest of his life. For his own profound journey of faith-filled surrender to the Lord's will and his deep devotion to serving others, especially those who suffer deeply, Devin Hayes has been recognized as this month's Disciple of the Month. Congratulations, Devin, for being named the Archbishop's Catholic Appeal Disciple of the Month. Pope Francis has died. From simple pastor to reforming pontiff to House of the Father, by Roxanne King. Pope Francis, the pontiff of many firsts, including taking his name after the little poor one of Assisi, with whom he shared a love for the poor, for creation, and a commitment to reform, died Monday. He was 88 and had served as pontiff for a dozen years. The pontiff died after suffering a stroke, which was followed by irreversible heart failure, the Vatican said. His death came suddenly after a slow recovery from serious illness that began more than 2 months ago. Hospitalized on February 14th for bronchitis, he was also diagnosed with pneumonia and a complex lung infection. The Pope had half a lung removed as a young man and was susceptible to respiratory illness. In recent years, he also had colon surgery and a hernia operation. On Easter Sunday, he made his final public appearance, blessing a crowd of thousands gathered at St. Peter's Square. Throughout his final illness, the Vatican noted that Pope Francis remained in high spirits, worked and maintained his good sense of humor. Bishop Jorge Rodriguez and I are grateful to God for Pope Francis' powerful example of humility, prayer, and service to the Church for the past 12 years, stated Denver Archbishop Samuel J. Aquila. From the extraordinary Jubilee of Mercy in 2015 to his prayer in St. Peter's Square during COVID to his ordinary Jubilee of Hope this year, from his weekly Angelus messages to his encyclicals and writings, he continually called us to encounter Jesus Christ, to accompany others as Christ did with mercy and tenderness, and to draw near to the Father's heart in this apostolic age. His special emphasis on seeking out the lost and marginalized has encouraged many to encounter Jesus, who is our Savior, the way, the truth, and the life. As we mourn his passing, may we remember his call to preach the gospel courageously, joyfully, and full of hope. As we celebrated Easter, Pope Francis reminded us, all those who put their hope in God placed their feeble hands in his strong and mighty hand. They let themselves be raised up and set out on a journey. Together with the risen Jesus, they become pilgrims of hope, witnesses of the victory of love and of the disarmed power of life. Let us be those who set out on mission to proclaim Jesus Christ risen to our world. Please join Bishop Rodriguez and me in praying for Pope Francis's peaceful repose in the hands of the Father. May he and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Jorge Mario Bergoglio was born on December 17, 1936, in Buenos Aires, Argentina, to Mario and Regina Savori Bergoglio, as the first of five children. His parents were Italian immigrants, his father an accountant and his mother a homemaker. Excelling in science, he attended a technical high school where he earned a diploma as a chemical technician. At 21, he began priestly formation at the Diocesan Seminary in Buenos Aires, but on March 11, 1958, he entered the novitiate of the Society of Jesus. In 1963 and 1970, respectively, he earned degrees in philosophy and theology, studying in Argentina, Chile, and Spain. Between acquiring the degrees, he taught literature and psychology. He was ordained a priest on December 13, 1969. He served as provincial of the Jesuits in Argentina from 1973 to 1979. He then served 6 years as a seminary rector and parish priest. In 1986, he completed a doctorate in theology in Freiburg, Germany. Elevated to the episcopacy in 1992, he was named Archbishop of Buenos Aires and Primate of Argentina in 1998. Pope John Paul II created him Cardinal in 2001. Elected Pope on March 13, 2013, about 2 weeks after the resignation of Pope Benedict XVI, Jorge Mario Bergoglio, the former Cardinal Archbishop of Buenos Aires, Argentina, became the first pope from the New World, the first from Latin America, and the first from the Jesuit order. He was also the first pope ordained a priest after the Second Vatican Council. Lover of the poor. Upon realizing he had been elected to the papacy, his friend Cardinal Claudio Helms whispered to him, "Don't forget the poor," which inspired then Cardinal Bergoglio to call himself after St. Francis of Assisi. "For me, he is the man of poverty, the man of peace, the man who loves and protects creation. These days we do not have a very good relationship with creation, do we?" Pope Francis told reporters 3 days after his election. "He is the man who gives us this spirit of peace, the poor man. How I would like a church which is poor and for the poor." Beloved in Buenos Aires as a simple pastor who used public transportation and lived in a small apartment rather than the grand archbishop's home he was entitled to, he continued his austere lifestyle as pontiff. When introduced to the crowd gathered in St. Peter's Square the night of his election, Pope Francis wore a white cassock, having declined the traditional red velvet cape. Before giving his first blessing, he led the people in prayer for Pope Emeritus Benedict. Then he asked them to pray for him, silently, as he bowed. Rather than taking up residence in the Apostolic Palace of past popes, he chose to live at Casa Santa Marta, a guest house at the Vatican. He even wore new black shoes to the conclave when he was elected pope, only because friends gifted them to him, insisting his worn shoes were not suitable for the occasion. Merciful pastor, his call to priesthood came unexpectedly, shortly before his 17th birthday. On September 21, 1953, the Feast of St. Matthew, he went to confession while on his way to meet friends for a celebration. Afterward, he deeply felt God's mercy and a call to the priesthood. To commemorate that moment for his episcopal and papal motto, Pope Francis chose a phrase from Venerable Bede's homily on the call of Matthew, which is read on the Apostles' feast day in the Liturgy of the Hours, "With mercy chosen." The phrase comes from St. Bede's commentary, Jesus saw the tax collector, and because he saw him through the eyes of mercy and chose him, he said to him, "Follow me." Here, this is me, a sinner to whom the Lord has turned his eyes. And this is what I said when they asked me if I would accept my election as Pope. Pope Francis told Jesuit Father Antonio Spadaro in a 2000 interview, the Pope described his experience of God's mercy as central to his religious experience. It was a primary teaching of his papacy. He saw the Church as a merciful field hospital. He proclaimed a Jubilee Year of Mercy from 2015-2016 and published a companion book, The Name of God is Mercy, with Vatican reporter Andrea Tornielli. The multilingual Pope wrote or gave interviews for many books during and prior to his papacy, including a memoir, Hope, released this year. In 2016, he gave authority to all priests to forgive abortions, a faculty previously limited to bishops and select confessors, unless otherwise provided by local bishops, making the previous dispensation he granted during the Mercy Year permanent. The Pope emphasized that abortion is still a grave sin, but there is no sin that God's mercy cannot reach and wipe away when it finds a repentant heart seeking to be reconciled with the Father. Joyful preacher, evangelization. Pope Francis's first apostolic exhortation, The Joy of the Gospel, addresses how to evangelize in the modern world. The 2013 document emphasizes that the Church is missionary and urges all the faithful to live and share the gospel with joy enthusiastically. It stresses that pastors should be so close to their flock that they smell of the sheep. Lumen Fidei, The Light of Faith, Pope Francis's first encyclical, also published in 2013, emphasizes the centrality of faith as a guiding light in human life, especially for the mission of the Church and her call to preach the gospel. Faith is not a private act, the Holy Father wrote, of the theological virtue, pointing out that it is necessarily ecclesial and professed from within the body of Christ as a concrete communion of believers, as he encouraged the Church to engage in a deeper understanding of God's truth in the world. Care for creation. In 2014, he published the encyclical Laudato Si, Praise Be to You, subtitled On Caring for Our Common Home. Addressed to every person living on the planet, it highlights critical environmental concerns, notes that ecological ruin hurts the poor the most, and exhorts people to care for the environment. Marriage and Family. His 2016 apostolic exhortation, Amoris Laetitia, The Joy of Love, is based on discussions of two synods of the family and speaks to various matters families face. It generated controversy for remarks in Chapter 8 regarding communion for the divorced and remarried. Fiducia Supplicans, Supplicating Trust, subtitled On the Pastoral Meaning of Blessings, is a 2023 doctrinal document from the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith and signed by Pope Francis that permits priests to spontaneously bless people in irregular relationships, including same-sex ones. A controversial declaration, it was sure to emphasize that Church teaching on marriage remains firm and the blessing of the persons does not signify approval of the union. Community, Fratelli Tutti, Brothers All. His third encyclical was released in 2020 on the Feast of St. Francis of Assisi during the COVID-19 pandemic. In it, he urges fraternity and social friendship among individuals and institutions to build a more just and peaceful world and denounces war and global indifference. Migration. 4 months after his election, Pope Francis's first pastoral visit outside Rome was to Italy's island of Lampedusa, where he first highlighted the perilous plight of migrants that remained a priority of his papacy. He did the same in early 2016 at the U.S.-Mexico border and 2 months later at a refugee camp on the Greek island of Lesbos. When he departed Lesbos, he permitted a dozen Syrian Muslim refugees to travel back to Rome with him on the papal plane. In February, he sent a letter to the U.S. bishops about the current migration crisis and mass deportations, encouraging them to continue to advocate on behalf of migrants and refugees. Accordingly, the right of a nation to defend itself and keep communities safe, he denounced, deporting people who have left their own land for reasons of extreme poverty, insecurity, exploitation, persecution, and environmental decline. Trusting God, in 2020, the pandemic led to the moving experience of a solitary Pope Francis praying for the world as night fell over an empty St. Peter's Square during a steady rain on March 27, 2020. We have realized we are in the same boat, all of us fragile and disoriented, all of us now called to row together, the Holy Father said during that global moment of prayer. Let us hand out fears over to him so that he can conquer them, because this is God's strength. Turning to the good, everything that happens to us, even the bad things, he brings serenity into our storms, because with God, life never dies. Holiness. In 2018, Pope Francis published Gaudete et Exultate, Rejoice and Be Glad, an apostolic exhortation calling the faithful to pursue holiness in their everyday lives. He emphasizes that holiness is not a privilege reserved for the few, but the vocation proper to all believers, especially in ordinary modern life. Through constant prayer and by living the Beatitudes and corporal and spiritual works of mercy, Christians can combat indifference and apathy to live out their faith concretely in the modern world. Peacemaker. As a peacemaker in 2022, Pope Francis took the unusual step of visiting the Russian embassy in the Vatican to voice concern over Russia's invasion of Ukraine. He repeatedly called for talks to end the fighting and exhorted the faithful to fast and pray for peace. He did the same during the 2023-25 Israeli-Hamas war. He made a 2015 trip to the Central African Republic to promote peace, the first papal visit by a pontiff to an active war zone. In 2022, he and two other Christian leaders made a pilgrimage of peace to the war-torn nations of the Democratic Republic of Congo and South Sudan. In an extraordinary plea for peace, Pope Francis kissed the feet of South Sudan's opposing leaders during a 2000 retreat at the Vatican. Reformer. The Pope made a penitential pilgrimage to Canada in 2022, offering a historic apology on behalf of the Church for sins committed at residential schools. I humbly beg forgiveness, he said, for the evil committed by so many Christians against the indigenous people. 3 years prior, Pope Francis summoned bishops and religious superiors to the Vatican for a conference on protecting minors in the Church. At the clergy sex abuse scandals with episcopal cover-up surfaced in the United States, Chile, and Europe. Focus on accountability and transparency. The summit resulted in the Vos Estis norms mandating bishops, priests, and members of religious orders worldwide to report abuse or cover-up. The law was expanded to include leaders of Vatican-recognized lay association and was made permanent in 2023. Hopeful witness. On Christmas Eve 2024, he opened the holy door of St. Peter's Basilica, inaugurating the 2025 Jubilee of Hope. The Jubilee marks the 2025th anniversary of the birth of Christ, who is our hope. The holy door of God's heart lies open before you, Pope Francis said in his homily, ushering in the Jubilee. Jesus, God with us, is born for you, for us, for every man and woman. With him, joy flourishes. With him, life changes. With him, hope does not disappoint. Thank you for joining us for Catholic News. My name is Chris Mihalik.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.